Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... A lion ate my wife. This is actually a little sequence buried somewhere in Kings in the Bible I was listening to, and it speaks an awful lot. So the situation was the prophet, whoever he was, as at this stage there were prophets or messages of God, had told the king to kill a particular person, and this person sued for peace and the king let him go. The king was told this is very bad, and you'll be punished by losing everything, and a lion will eat your wife. This is various things like that. And in this podcast, I want to cover the concept of folk beliefs and how folk beliefs, in order to be folk beliefs, have this insulation around them, sort of a no-go zone. So I was just listening into someone's Bible studies, and I sort of had picked up from it, I had asked some basic questions at various stages, like, do you believe that this is true today? And the answer is no. Do you think it's still relevant to study this old belief? Yes, because there's a message installed in it. So having sort of assessed it as not saying whether it's true or false or God or not, ungodlike, but it is in the category of folk beliefs. This is a series of belief maintained not by science but by a social institution, and the beliefs don't necessarily correspond to measurable things. They're pre-programming things, they're folk beliefs. Now, before we get off and say, oh, religion's terrible, a lot of what we teach in schools and science is folk beliefs, so like the atom and self such. So I'm just going to try and do a little bit of a podcast here. So the aim of the game for me is cognitive rehabilitation, is being able to speak on a topic coherently for a reasonable time. Now, the concerns I had with... there's a sort of a structure of folk beliefs, and I don't think folk beliefs are random. I think they serve a social coherence to ensure a coherent behaviour, maybe an illogical behaviour, and as such, it's not just purely a academically generated things. There are things which reinforce the folk belief. So these are observations or show experiments, or back in the day, people would have been eaten by lions and stuff like that, and the folk belief sort of takes it over and gives a story for it. So my understanding of this is a sort of high-level academic thing, in that you see a different set of folk beliefs in the Australian First Nations. And this is because they didn't have lions and stuff like that, and the society they built had other taboos and forces to keep them together, whereas folk beliefs generated in places where there are lions and stuff like that, you have the terror of being stranded and no one coming to your help and stuff like that, and being eaten. And that gets reflected back into society. It becomes part of the currency, and it comes out of the society being a very slave-driven, fear-driven society. And essentially, this folk belief of someone being stranded out and no one able to help them is actually been used in the idea of crucifixion, isolating someone, punishing them, denying them logical, you know, if they want to argue against folk belief, they can't do it because folk belief is the major theme. So the persecution and prejudice in society is part of the right of reinforcing the folk belief. So this is sort of a strange idea that prejudice begets prejudice, that you look, you can't punish that person, that's prejudice. Yes, I can, prejudice is legitimate, that type of stuff. So going back into it, there's a couple of instances where I've just come across in the listening to the Bible or just coming across, not that I've read it dramatically, but there's a so you can hear hopefully all these parrots and birds. I'm in Australia at the dawn. The sun's coming up and there's stacks and stacks of birds here. Getting up, the first one I sort of encountered years ago was I was up at night and I came across this open folder and began to read this folder. And it's a story, a Bible story, this sort of Bible studies. And it's really interesting that Bible studies and the practice of Bible studies and religion is a very practice of instilling folk belief. And if you can believe the folk belief, you're going to be less critical of other aspects of it. You sort of surrender your logic to the folk belief, and therefore when you come up against something which does require you logic and people are relying on you to be logical, no, you're not there, and you're forgiven because you're in that folk belief regime. So this is a Bible study start, and I was reading it, and it was about this man of God, and the children of the village said, you're a fool, you have got no hair. And God was very upset with this process of putting down one of the disciples. And so he got a she-bear, whatever they are, two she-bears, and they went around the village taking the first children of the village. They sort of knocked on the door with a, can you imagine, knock, knock, knock with the claws and rah, and take him. And when I read this, I just, and then there was all these questions about the analysis of it, and I just couldn't help laughing in the middle of the night and getting everybody else out of bed. And then it was extremely disrespectful, and it was just a sort of a natural process that not only should this tale be from such a long time ago, put into print and then stored and then pushed around the place. So that was an example of people's fear of predators creating a sort of landscape of fear, which is not actually a physical landscape, but a landscape of fear of what they will think, where they will go mentally, won't go because they're afraid of she-bears. And now this particular one was in the Book of Kings. I listened to it because it was a very loud audio description to help Bible study. And it was in the Book of Kings, and there was the Samites at Damascus around Syria, and Israel built an army of 100,000. They were all conquering, and various things happened. The defeated person went and quite recently said, "Look, please let me go. You can have everything." They let him go, and of course, this is really bad because that was against God's will, and so he lost everything because he didn't kill the enemy. And a bit later on, there's so I said, "Well, what do you think of this?" And that was offered a bit later on. Then in the same book, there was someone who didn't give up his vineyard. Someone who was told to give everything up to the king, something along these lines, and the wife objected, and so God said to this person who repented and said, "Look, I believe in this folk belief. You can, this is a repent, believe in folk belief, and you'll be protected by folk law." He said, "The wife, unfortunately, will be eaten by wild dogs." And then, I'm sure I haven't got the full story of this. And she walked outside the palace, and she got eaten by wild dogs. And so this is in there somehow. There's little sections I read about plagues of rats and things like that, and they had to fashion gold rats at various points of time. You go through it and look at it, and it's a very, what's interesting, there's sort of a limited interest in the actual religious stuff. So when I say it's a folk belief in terms of that there are a certain group of people who do believe it, rightly or wrongly, and have a certain set of beliefs, sort of secondary beliefs, which protect them into believing that section, rightly or wrongly. So society has evolved in this sort of duality, at the moment, in terms of that, you ask the question, well, do you think such and such would happen today? And the answer is inevitably no. Whereas if you ask someone at the time, where there's only folk beliefs, that was, well, there was no alternative. So I think we're at this interesting stage where we have alternatives, we've got the scientific alternatives, we've got the understanding of this folk belief, yet we haven't fully understood how the folk belief interacts with our society. So, and you can see very much in religion and, not religion, in picking up of these popular politicians, they very much appeal to, when we roll out the scientific facts, climate change, economics, equity and stuff like that, they counter with a folk belief of let's make America great, let's be a bully, whatever it is, or how good is that? These are all little snap things, and they're not arguing. The argument's not there. It is, do you want to live in a world of folk belief where there is this sort of folk magic and stuff like that, or do you want to live in the hard, boring world of science? And people are sort of this, and the more people go up to support the science with arguments, and more they try, the more this pushes people who don't understand, who believe in folk belief, feeling a sense of power of folk belief. The entire thing of folk belief is all about social power. It's all about excluding someone and causing tension and causing upset and leaving someone in the wake saying, but I don't believe in folk belief, but no, you're executed, put aside. So that's my little set of thoughts on folk belief. I don't rally against it, I just observe it. Observe that you can ask certain questions. You can't fight it, but it has had, if you study folk belief and how it's evolved in different societies, it explains a lot of what's going on. So in the European society, which has only recently been free of top predators, there's the idea of internal predation and exposure to predators. So you believe this or you'll be exposed to predators, and if you aren't exposed to predators, you'll be internally predated by the system. You know, people gang up against you and hurt you up. Whereas you've got different things in the islanders' cultures, where obviously they're out to sea, there's not big lions going around the islands, and again, different in the Australian culture, where there's not that huge external predator creating a landscape of fear inside. And look, there's not much we can do about it at the moment. We're sort of really stuck at the moment. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.